A very good morning to you, Namibia, and welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Thursday morning. Welcome to Eagle FM. How is your Thursday morning? So it's been raining. It has been raining these days. Beautiful. The weather is really beautiful, and I believe it has been raining as well in your area. And if it hasn't been, so make sure in Ndakie Ngolo. So get on your knees and start praying. So, yeah, a very good morning. It's 12 days out of February already. Okay, wow, February is moving faster than our economy, actually. You know, February is running faster than our economy. So if our economy was moving like February, maybe we'll get somewhere. So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. Our time is about 5 minutes past the hour of eight. So, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So my name is Michael Chavetti, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, economic news, and political news. So every day, every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers, making headlines, and we keep it clear here and always curious, asking the questions that that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views and the views shared are here during our segment. I do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We're here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation for you, so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. It's your space to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So 7 minutes passed out of eight, and welcome if you're just joining us. It's a pleasure having you, and it's great to have you joining us at this point in time.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha with the Kirotaguna I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafata Nana Longishifa Ya is Yuike Moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongoti samweni. Anagashifa ya Namibia, ombito mbwa na wa oronjika. Zaitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tino meha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yu mo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oambiaj. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you see?
All right. Welcome. Welcome back. And it's a Thursday morning, and it looks like, we had a little bit of a glitch. Eh? So welcome back. And as usual, before we start, you know, we're looking at what happened on this day in Africa. We go back in history of our continent, see what significant event that has taken place on this day in Africa. So, yeah, let's take a quick look at some important events that happened on February the 12th throughout our history. So, and good morning, Africa. So, welcome to on this day in Africa. So first, let's start in 1953, a major agreement was signed in Cairo between Egyptian government and Britain, granting self-governance to Sudan. So this was a huge step towards Sudan's independence, which came in 1956. So the agreement set the stage for Sudan's own elections and gave it more control over local affairs. So, and then in 1965, the African and Malagasy Common Organization, or OCOM, was formed in Mauritania. This was an effort to strengthen operation between French-speaking African nation in areas like economy, culture, and social issues. So also on this day, in 1951, Kwame Nkrumah, who would go on to become the first president of Ghana, was released from detention after his party's victory in the election. Now, this marked an important moment in Ghanaian path to independence in 1957. And finally, in 1965, South Africa apartheid government took another step in its segregation policy. Proclaiming that public recreation areas, like park and beaches were for white only. So that's why you go to some, beaches in South Africa, then written white only. So this was part of the Oppressive Group Area Act, which further and enforced racial segregation in the country. So, which also had applied to Namibia. You know, there were certain places that were black. Where it's, when you come, it's written white only. So, or sectioned, you don't go to that section. So white only, black only, all right? So, that's our look. That's our look back at this day in African history, in our continent, on our continent's history. But join us again tomorrow when we're looking at another journey through the moment that made the moment that make history on our continent. So good morning and welcome. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show. So good morning to you.
Omutiha wetekirwa kabuna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo ota ingongoti samweni. Ananga shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupikiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe 20 time meha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, a very good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. So, and thanks for joining us at this point in time. And so let's be back after this commercial quickly.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 2 kg Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $99.99, and 500 grams Polana elbows, macaroni or spaghetti pasta for just $13.99 each. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
All right, for a cheap, well, make yourself, head yourself to ShopRite. All right, welcome back. And make sure that you please do follow Eagle FM on our social media, on our social platforms. We do follow us on a number of social media. On X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, WhatsApp channel. So, and engage with us on those social media platforms. Make sure you leave a like or a comment, because we would like to engage with you. So, good morning and welcome. So good morning, Namibia, and you are listening to Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host, Mike Oshavili. I'm coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and I'll be with you until 10 o'clock. So where we'll be heading over again. We're crossing over to Winter Studio, heading over to Tate France, coming with Kutha Mosha at around 10 o'clock. So make sure that you tune in for that show, and all the programs that's coming, during the course of the day. 17 past 8, it's our time, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, let me ask you something, okay? When you hear about the billions of dollars flowing from our mines, our fishing grounds, and now our growing oil and gas sector. Do you ever wonder where all that money goes? Eh? So do you ever wonder where all that money goes? Do you ever ask yourself if you, or as a Namibian citizen, are you getting your fair share of the wealth that comes from your own land? Now, today we are unpacking a story. It wasn't today, it was in yesterday's edition of the of the Villager. And it's about extractive industry transparency initiative, EITI, in short. So it's a story by Dwight Link in yesterday's edition of the e-newspaper, the Villager. So it's a story about a promise. It's a story about a promise that was written in black and white in our national development plans. Now, a promise to join something, what is called the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative, the EITI. That promise had a deadline, and the deadline was 2025. And guess what? The deadline has come and gone. So the big question this morning is, what we're looking at this morning is, why has Namibia not joined the EITI? Why Namibia hasn't joined the Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative? And what does that mean for every Namibian who relies on these industries? So there are a lot of Namibians who relies on these industries for jobs, for services, and for our country's development. So what does it mean? So that's what we're looking at. And thanks for joining me. Let's do this together. So 19 minutes past 8 is our time. Yeah. So Let me take you some years back. Okay. So let me take you some years back. And this is about, okay, let's from the very beginning. This is about transparency, because transparency is something that the current administration is very, something that they are onto it. Okay. Something that they are emphasizing, or kind of a priority within the administration as well. So, but it's something that we had already. We kind of looking at, are we just talking about certain things, or we really meant to do it? And that's why we're looking at this. And this is what the story is actually talking about. That's why I said this was a promise that was written in black and white in our national development plans. And even if we're talking about it, we don't seem to be, you know, really implementing. It's kind of like, okay, forget about what was in the previous development plan. Let's focus on the new one. We do that quite often. Could be that 5 years from now, how many, not 5 years, 2 years or 3 years from now, so a new president comes on, NDP6 is thrown in the dustbin, whatever what is in it. So we have to start over again with something else. So that's why I want to take you some years back, okay? So in 2021, the Harambe Prosperity Plan 2, HPP2, as we all know it, it was launched with much of fanfare. You know, we were looking at this as, you know, that would make us Namibia more prosperous. So, and it was supposed to be now to be our roadmap for prosperity, you know. So, yeah, you can say that it was launched with much fanfare. Now, all right. So, and right in there, I can see that in black and white, under the effective governance pillars, because there were pillars, the Harambe Prosperity have those pillars. One of the pillars is the effective governance pillar. So now right there, it was really clear. It was a clear commitment under the effective governance pillar, a clear commitment that Namibia would subscribe to the Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative. Not maybe, not possibly, it was a recommendation that was supposed to happen. A recommendation that was to happen. Maybe this is an emergency. Let's see what the scholar had to say. Very good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine, thank you. I want to...
Is it anonymous?
Yes.
A long time, man.
Yeah, I've been busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to... You mentioned the HPP here. I want to bring another idea, which is tying into this.
Yeah.
The ideas and the projects that we get, are they really our own, or are they sold to us by outside forces? Let me put it that way. Outside forces that give us a mandate as to, or our leaders at least, as to what should be done. Just think back to Corona. It's as if they were being remote controlled, you know? So I'm just thinking, and then you think of things like the Neckartal Dam, and the lack of vision that was there. You know, it's difficult to always implement somebody else's vision. Are these plans that are being put through, are they really Namibian plans? Are they really Afrocentric plans? Are they really, you know, plans that are there to... In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I have plans to give you a hope and a future. not to harm you. Mm. God says this about his people. I wonder if the plans that we have are there to give us a hope in the future, or are they...
Why are you thinking? Why are you thinking in that way? Why are you thinking
Eurobond.
That?
I'm thinking about Eurobond. Remember, NNN help us. We made the last payment and we're out of Eurobond finally.
Yeah.
Do you think that was for us to get into the Eurobond? It was by design. My question is, whose design? The HHP. I know that people don't like to talk about, you know, the truth a lot, but we must face the facts that perhaps these were not his plans. Perhaps they were not, even if they were his plans, or if they were our plans, they're not plans, but at the core, they come from somewhere else. I think that that's what really how Africa is being kept.
Or maybe
state of colonialism.
Or maybe we are just short-sighted. We're short-sighted based on where we are at this point in time. Think of individual. You know, when you haven't really planned, you're thinking you have an idea of a business, okay? But you didn't put down your business on paper and really go through, you know, your business plan and have everything, you know, thought through. So you're just excited this might be a good idea. And then, well, maybe you ask for a loan. It's just to realize that, you know, there are certain things that you haven't really, you know, think through, and now it becomes a problem to your business idea. Possibly we can take that on a country level. So we think that,
but it would be complacent for us to do so, because we know that we are, you will not disagree with me when I say.
But it would be also criminal, Nanamas. It would be also criminal to know that you're pushing something that is not yours, that you completely maybe don't even agree. It's just because somebody's pushing you.
We've seen that many times happening. Yeah. Why do you think in Namibia we've got this German organization that apparently is funding XYZ and doing that? And they want to bring development. Why do you think that those people are here? Why do you think that we have the Americans, or we had the Americans coming with their help and their aid? Why do you think all of that was?
Of course.
That's nothing new.
Yeah, no.
That's nothing new. They've been pushing us in that direction all along. We don't have anything that is ours for ourselves. And that is my problem. You know? We are either being coerced into it, or we are being tricked into it. We are being told, hey, listen, there are sustainable development goals. Please follow these sustainable development goals, or do this, or do that. For the benefit of who? Europe. Europe is not even a continent, Mike. I don't even believe it's a continent. It's just a small corner of Asia.
Yeah. But then you have to ask yourself why are they powerful? Why are they powerful than us?
Because they colonized us originally.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and
that's why they're more powerful than us.
Yeah, and then when you're looking at where we are now, we're talking about now a critical mineral. Even now that we have that in Africa, and the world is after that. Why don't we take advantage of that? Why don't we use that opportunity? Exactly. And
why does the Namibian government say no? NAMCOR has to have the 50% of the oil reserves, oil storage reserves, let me put it that way, not the oil wells and so on. I'm talking about the bulk tankers and so on. They have to have 50% of that. And the Namibian government does not say 50% of the gold deposits in Namibia, found in Namibia, belong to the people.
Yeah.
But, well, why? When we were being told, no, the oil is not ours, did you forget all of these things? So even if we make the best laid plans amongst mice and men, are they really ours? Because I don't understand how we are where we are when we have the resources that we have, when we are a country as large as we are.
Yeah.
Why are we so far behind? You know what I mean? It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And I think of the...
There's a quick commercial coming up. Quickly, ne? Just a quick commercial coming up.
Great news. Uber just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Uber? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Uber has to offer at an unbeatable price. Uber. With the world congregate. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. Just round up because I haven't even started going to the story that we talked
okay,
about.
Okay, let me just say the last thing and I get off the line.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I doubt that any plan we ever make is our plan to begin with. It is not. I doubt that it has no influence through Europe, the EU, or any other of the former colonizing agencies, especially Germany. I doubt all of those things about we have plans and we can develop our own plans. I think they are agents of chaos and agents of change in and amongst the sheep. They are agents, wolves dressed as sheep that are pushing these type of things. Think of IPPR, think of the news, the media, think of certain politicians, all of those people, they are there to subvert and to divert our agenda so that we can, our agenda start looking like the agenda for somebody else. I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. It does relate to what we're talking about, but let's get into what we really, focus on this morning. As I said, I was talking about actually came in talking about the Harambe prosperity plan that I was referring to, that I was taking you a little bit back, when it comes to what we're talking about, the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. So, in 2021, just to get back a little bit, in 2021, the Harambe Prosperity Plan, HPP2, as I said, it was, you know, that was supposed to be our roadmap. And basically that's why Anonymous came in and said, well, maybe these were not our plans at all. So, yeah, so that was the diversion. Now, so it was our road to prosperity. And within there, in black and white. So under the effective governance pillar, because there were several pillars in the HHPT, at HPPT. I mean, what I'm talking about in HPP2, not T. All right. There were pillars, different pillars. So under now the effective governance, you know, under the effective governance pillar, there was this clear commitment that Namibia would subscribe to Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. So, and as I said earlier, this was not something, it was not a guess, it was not, it's possible that we maybe we do it. It was a recommendation. That was supposed to happen. So that was supposed to happen. All right. Now, for those who might not know, the EITIF, the Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative, you know, this is not some kind of, how would I say, some kind of obscure bureaucratic body, you know. It's a global standard. It's a global standard. It's a framework that forces country actually to open up their books, open up their book and show exactly what is happening in their extractive industries. That's what is this body's, these standards are all about. So now this is now your mining, your fishing, your oil, your gas, your renewable, all of it. Now, the idea is very simple. Okay? The idea is very simple that if a companies are extracting wealth from your country, so if a company is extracting wealth from your country, the public deserve to know how much is actually being paid, how much is being paid, who is being who is paying it, you know, and where that money ends up. So that's why opening up your books, open up your books so that the public deserve to know everything. So that's the idea of the EITI, you know. So now think about it in this way, okay? Now imagine you own a house and you rent it out to tenants. So wouldn't you want to know exactly how much rent they are paying? Would you not want to know or to see where that money goes? So now replace that house now with our country natural resources. Those tenants with multinational, you know, with multinational mining companies and fishing corporations. So that is essentially what the EITI does. It opens the books. All right? It opens the books. So, and as I said, for more information, get to the article. It was yesterday's article by Dwight. So why does this significant for Namibia? Why it is so significant for Namibia? Let me tell you. Okay. Our country sit on some of the world's richest mineral deposits. Now we have diamond that, you know, sparkle across the globe. So our diamond is almost everywhere in the world. So we have uranium that powers nuclear plant in some distant countries. You know, not in Namibia, but, you know, in a country outside here. So we have gold, we have zinc, we have lithium. So our fishing feed millions, you know. And now with the oil and gas, so with an oil and gas revolution knocking at our door, so we are looking at oil production boom that, you know, that could transform our economy. Now, but here's the issue. Now, here is the issue now. Without transparency, without accountability, without mechanism to track the money flowing through these sectors, we are essentially operating in the dark. And operating in the dark creates the perfect conditions for something we all know or we all fear too well. You know, and that's corruption. So that's the crack of this whole, why this is significant to Namibia. So, and we have an experience of that. So we have definitely an experience of that, but it was in our plan. It was in the development plan that this must happen. And the reasons why it was there, it's because, well, some of this, the issue of transparency, the issue of accountability. Without, as I said, without this mechanism, without this kind of mechanism to track the money through these sectors, well, it's opening we are essentially operating in the dark. You understand? So now, let me take you deeper into this story, all right? Let me take you deeper into it. Now, according to research, and this is conducted by the Institute of Public Policy Research, you know, there was a momentum for joining actually the EITI, you know, And that momentum was really real. That's why it was in our development plan. So it was going to happen. So then the IPPR's executive director, Graham Hopwood, has been advocating for this for years. So, and back in 2021, when now HPP2, the Harambe Prosperity Plan 2, was launched, it seems like Namibia was finally ready to take the plunge, you know, to do this. Now, here is what makes this story now even more intriguing. You know, we started now asking where you now becoming questioning things. So the Ministry of Mine was actually commissioned to look into joining the EITI. Now, this was not just talk. It was a cabinet decision. It was not just something that was talk. It was a cabinet decision. Cabinet sat down, discussed this and say, yes, you know, let's explore this. They brought in specialists. They even brought in specialists from our own universities, from NUST and UNAM, to conduct a consultation and research. Now ask yourself, when now the government commissioned research for its own, from its own experts, pay for that research with taxpayers' money, you know, what do you expect to happen? What do you expect to happen? Well, for me, I expect that to see the result, right? So what was the research? We expect action based on those findings. Well, embrace yourself, my dear. Embrace yourself. The work on the possibility of joining the EITI was completed late in 20. The UNAM and the NUST consultancy was actually then completed in late 2023. And a report was written. But here's the problem. That report was never released, never published, and never discussed publicly. So, as you can guess, probably it's sitting somewhere in a drawer. Well, hopefully, I hope, you know, someone is hiding it. So it has to be somewhere in a drawer, you know, hopefully it's not in a drawer, it's not gathering dust. So it's sitting somewhere in a drawer, like gathering dust, while the Namibian public remain in the dark about what our own expert has recommended. Our very own expert. So, now let me ask something. If the research showed that joining the EITI was bad. Let's say, for example, it says the report that it was bad for joining the, now it was bad for Namibia to join the EITI. I'm just assuming. Would that not be a reason to publish it and explain why? Because then we would know why we shouldn't. And on the other side as well, if the research showed that joining would benefit Namibia, for example, why are we not moving forward? So why are we not moving forward? Either way, does Namibia public not deserve to know? We deserve to know. Eh? We deserve to know. Now, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, the president has repeatedly spoken about her administration commitment to tackling corruption. You know, tackling corruption, strengthening transparency, instating, you know, accountability measures. Now, these are really powerful words from the president. And she always, you know, any chances she speaks, she emphasizes on some of these points. But words without action are just noise. They're just noise. Now, the EITI, this framework, now that provides exactly the kind of accountability. It provides the kind of accountability tools, the tool that would actually turn those words into reality. It would. This is exactly the tool that you need to turn your words into reality. So why is the delay? Eh? Why is the delay? Or is there anything that we are missing out anyway? Maybe not actually. Now you might be wondering, some of you might be wondering, what exactly are we losing by not joining the I, the EITI. What are we losing out? Is there anything that we're losing out? Well, okay, I'm going to break it down for you, okay? Just to understand that there was the 2022 Africa Peer Review Mechanism Country Report on Namibia. It spelled it out clearly. Now, the delay in signing up to the EITI, so it's actually limiting Namibia's opportunity to maximize benefit from its natural resources. So that review, that peer review mechanism country report actually highlight the EITI is limiting Namibia's opportunity to maximize benefit from our natural resources. Now think about it now. Think about that now, where the report is saying that we are literally losing money, losing opportunities, because we refuse to open our books. So the report highlighted something even more concerning. So limited transparency across the mining value chain. So there was a limited transparency. That's what the report highlighted. The limited transparency, I'm talking about now the Africa, the 22 Africa Peer Review Mechanism country report, highlighted now that something, highlighted that there is a limited transparency across the value chain, including now, this is now including like licensing, you know, control and verifications, you know, taxations and other critical processes. Okay, let's get to the caller and see what I have to say. Very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine.
Hmm.
Yeah, the report and my general view on issues of that nature is quite important because transparency, all those cardinal values were actually emphasized in the things, the second pillar, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
The accountabilities, transparencies, hence the even issues of declaring your interest in all these other things.
Yeah.
So that shows that there is a willingness from the political leadership, because those are the only people that I heard who were asking, and they were asked the question to submit their interest.
Mm.
So in accordance with the Public Service Act, so it requires you to teach what is it that you do outside your remuneration. So now, the accountability when it comes to oil and gas and all these other minerals, extracted ones, and if you have not submitted, you see the report, Namibia is missing a lot, it's missing more on which or what area?
I know this is from the 2022 Africa Peer Review Mechanism Country Report, which is saying that we're losing opportunities because we refuse to open our books. And this is about the EITI, the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. So which when you are in these industries, you're supposed actually then to join this standard. It was in our Harande Prosperity Plan 2, but so far it was saying we should actually, and it was recommended by cabinet, but so far we haven't. You know, up to now we haven't. So, and this is where now the issue still coming up.
The books to assess whether we are adhering to those principles, or what opening our books in auditing purposes or what?
Yeah, no. So you probably didn't get this from the very beginning. The books in terms of looking at if the company is extracting these resources in our country, so they need to be transparent. They need transparent. We need to know how much are they extracting, or how much are they paid. You know, they need to be transparent in terms of those. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
I listen to that one. So then that is why I'm saying that
you're far from, you sound far from your phone. Yeah.
The proposed bills and all these other bills that to be amended and things like that, that propose some kind of accountability when the president is overseeing. Because at the end of the day, you'll be the one who's going to be accountable to all these other things. If those things were proposed in Harambe and Spira Mabatum, so you know that if I'm not mistaken, that the leadership, the accountability, the honesty, and all these other things, they are coming clearly. So if there are those companies that are not adhering to that, of course the report also points out to what should be done. If the starting, like we were told, no more exporting raw materials, and many things are still going on, you know, and the people explore, and they are able to do
Yeah, Uncle Bona, yeah. Uncle Bona, try later maybe, because the voice, it's actually thick. We hardly hear anything, actually, seriously. Yeah.
I can just conclude that maybe that you also mistaken the need for the more accountability, more transparency, and make sure that nothing should be extracted from the country, with unfinished or illegal and things like that. So these are issues that Namibia, because I heard that the President Ramaphosa, maybe this time around will take on that issue of this review that you have just mentioned. It's so good because sometimes it gives you the tangible information, data, unlike when people are just duplicates. You see, yes, Namibia is not transparent. Even transparency runs sometimes. But in terms of other areas, investment, attraction, and security, and things like that.
Yeah.
So we just need to improve more. It's actually moving well. So let's just make sure that nothing is illegally extracted, actually. So the benefits of the Namibians' beneficiation, I'm hearing it being mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
So I think Minitumbo is going to make sure that all these things, weaknesses and things like that, they need to be done away with.
All right.
Good.
Great. Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, morning, Mike. Sorry, I'm back.
Yeah.
Mike, I want to ask you a question just to challenge the assertions that you've been putting on the table.
Yeah.
Why do we need to go to an independent body or to be part of an independent body to do what is only what can only be done in-house?
So that's a rhetoric question, isn't it? Or is it something that...
No, you tell me. It's not a rhetoric question at all. You tell me, because you're advocating IPPR, these wolves in
sheep's
clothing.
I'm not advocating. I'm just reading. I'm reading the story, what is the story is all about.
I'm talking about this.
But analyzing it...
Tell me, why do they want us to go and join a international body in order to do what we can do in-house and should be done in-house and can only be done in-house. Why is it that the Ministry of Mines cannot do that in-house and that information is not open to an international body? It's only here. It's only within the confines of government.
Yeah.
It's only within the confines of those maybe researchers or companies that want to be able to sell to those or interest groups that are Namibian. Why do we have to join an independent body in order to do that?
Check and balances?
Why do those checks and balances have to, why are they outside? Tell me. Why do we have to be part of a global body in order for the checks and balances for who?
Because maybe because of the multinational companies that
the multinational companies, when they come here, they operate under Namibian law. When they are here, whatever reporting structures you require of them as multinationals, you can institute it under Namibian law and receive that information as a Namibian government.
Yeah.
Why do you need to be part of an international body to do that?
That's actually a good question. That's a very good question in terms of, you know, if you do this in-house, I don't think there's a need to do that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But IPPR, wolves in sheep's clothing, will tell you that you need to be part of the global community. You need to be part. These people are here to subvert our sovereignty as a nation.
Yeah.
And it's not only them. How did the IPPR start? I understand who the directors are. Who financed them? They are non-profit, okay? They were financed by one economist and another, what's the other guy's name? I don't forget his name,
yeah.
Right? One is Robin, I know. Tell me, who are these people? Are they even Namibian? How did the IPPR start? Who founded it? Where did they get the money to do that? Right? And because the money tells, you know the old saying, follow the money. The money tells you who has an interest in this.
Yeah.
So how did it come about that these private individuals had such interest in Namibia? The one is from the UK. I don't know if the other one is Namibian or not.
Yeah.
Where did it start? Give us those answers first before you tell us we should listen to IPPR in any way. Is it not IPPR that was doing the so-called fact checkers? They were the fact checkers of Namibia, apparently.
That's a remember? Bit different. Yeah, that's the fact.
No, they were part of it. They were part of it.
Yeah.
They were part of it.
Yeah.
Thingy's brother is the one who was doing it. So you tell me
the extract. This one is the extractive, whatever industries transparency initiative.
That we can do in house. Thank you very much. We don't.
Yeah,
need
no, I do.
To hold, we don't need to hold anybody's hand, and that's what they do. That's why I say to you, these people come in and they infiltrate government with these independent bodies and what do you call them? What societies? A civil society organizations, and then they approach government, they approach cabinet, they say no, you should do this, and in very small steps, small baby steps, they walk your government towards their agenda. And now you're starting to make plans, you think it's your plans. Man, but meanwhile, you've been manipulated, you've been coerced, you've been subverted. Your agenda is no longer yours. The oil is not yours, the gold is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me that if Namibia wants to do anything, and everything it does, it should first start in-house.
Yeah.
Here we have Mr. Trump.
I think I definitely agree with you. The thing is that you have actually organizations that actually see opportunities. You understand? And as you said, this may actually then take hold of your plans and run with it. So because they take opportunities that you fail to, you understand? But the other thing is also looking at that there are also international organizations that we probably would like to be part of because of the value that we get from that. So whatever value that we could be maybe getting from this depends on how do we look to the world, because we are not just isolated some kind of a country. So there are other aspects that we need to look at it as well. Yeah.
No, Mike, don't be hypocritical, please. You are a good guy. I know you. But don't be hypocritical. Look here. You are saying that we are part of certain organizations that could be of benefit to us and how the world sees us, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we have Maduro. He was kidnapped out of his house.
Yeah.
A sovereign, a sitting leader of a sovereign nation was removed from his house. Did Namibia leave the United Nations? Did Namibia, in her sovereignty, not say, but this is hypocritical, because the reason why the United Nations was started, well, started is because we don't want another Nazi Germany. We don't want some sort of dictatorship, world dictatorship that's going to come about. Did Namibia say, no, we're going to leave the United Nations? Which nation left the United Nations since Maduro? Not one of them. Why do you then believe that any other organization that we are part of, if the United Nations is like that, that we are part of, somehow we need to maintain her image? Why is America not afraid of ruining her image? Why is Russia not afraid of ruining her image, and they still remain in power? Those are all things meant to control smaller nations.
I understand that, and I'm not disagreeing with you. So,
we shouldn't be worried about that. We shouldn't be worried about any organization.
But the
we shouldn't want to be part of any organization or any treaty or anything. Why? Because it doesn't serve us 99.9% of the time. If you say maybe we should join some sort of organization that's going to make Namibia richer, make Namibia more safe, prevent Donald Trump and his thugs from coming in and kidnapping me or you or anyone, president, from the president all the way down to the man right on the ground, right? These thugs can do that. They've shown it. And it's sort of like, you know, when you go on.
But do you think, do you think we are in a position actually to act like America, to act like China? Are we in the position to do that?
No, we're not.
Exactly. So.
But, having said that, that doesn't mean that we have to lie to ourselves.
No, I agree.
You can't be here. I'm part of this organization. I'm here now. I want to be part. You are just a follower, my dear. You are there to be used. You're a pawn. Do not be used by them. Don't be a pawn. At the very least, if they're going to attack you and do whatever, let that be.
But don't
sell your citizens and your people the idea that apparently there's this global village and we're all hunky-dory. We're not. This is the reality. You're going to say to me, IPPR must now come and tell me what to do. For what? Who's IPPR? The thing that you're advocating for is a good thing, but only if we do it and only if it's in our control.
Yeah.
The Namibian government, as much as possible, should try to control as much of its future as possible and give its citizens control as much as possible. Why? Because these people are about stripping control from us. Have you seen all of these cameras on national roads, apparently, that are going to measure speed? Have you seen them?
No,
who advocated for that?
Yeah.
Oh, if you go from Windhoek, Anja, or anywhere, you see these cameras with the boards, please slow down, who paid for that?
Yeah.
I challenge you, find out who paid for that. Find it out and come and tell us who paid for that and why did they pay for it? These so-called special interest groups put their money where their interests are. And that is the thing. When Germany comes here with, what is this German organization?
Yeah, but Anonymous, what I'm saying is this, you know, to a large extent, actually, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is that these are organizations, whether it's civil society or any foreign organization, that actually find an opportunity, whether it's just for their own interest, is they found an opportunity and they use that opportunity. So it's now upon us, as you said, well, We shouldn't be joining that. We can do that on our own. If we can do that, right. But the idea of the organization, it's good in terms of that we need transparency. We need accountability. If we can do that on our own, fine. So then we don't need, this organization or something like that. But we, as I said, one thing that maybe that you're not saying is that these organizations are taking opportunity that we're failing, opportunity that we fail actually to address. Do you understand? So, and as I said, at the large extent, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. And some of them is definitely for their own interest, maybe not in the interest of the country or the good of the country. So,
Look, there are opportunities that we're missing and that they see or that they know. But I think what they're telling us is largely already what we know ourselves that we should be doing it by ourselves.
Maybe the other point before we probably let all the other people come is that we can't live in isolations. In some way, we are forced, maybe not even willingly, we are forced, you know, to take chance, to take side, to, you know, to be in this camp rather than in the other camp or to join these institutions, you know, for our own image also, you know, whether we like it or not, that would happen. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. We don't have to be isolated. We only need to choose our friends wisely, as with all, in all things, because there are those that claim that they are friends, but they are very unfriendly. That is something that we as a country, we can no longer continue to be fooled. We cannot allow our leaders to continue thinking that, you know, Mike, the reality of the matter is, as I think about it, after colonization, a lot of the black leaders, they were sort of somehow maybe in awe of whites, or maybe they were afraid of them. Because when they sat at the table, they accepted terms and conditions that did not favor them or their people.
Yeah, it's not even just that time. Even now, it's just about what the other people know. If they know better than you, you know, what do you have to contribute? If you don't know the subject matter, you know, you probably wouldn't have much to contribute. You know?
No. They always try to convince you that they know better. If they knew better, why do they need me? If they know better and they have all the resources, then okay, fine, go to your country, enjoy your resources and enjoy your knowledge. Leave me in my corner in South Africa. That is a scam.
Yeah, but Anonymous, the other thing is this, they are being smarter than us because look, they are ambassadors here. They identifying what are the opportunities that we can actually manipulate or use in Namibia. And they are the one who pick up these opportunities and then, you know, pitch that to their companies. But what are we picking up that our ambassadors in Russia, in whatever, what are they picking up? We can use.
But again, it's the argument of incompetence.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I would also argue if I had to go and speak to, you know, Europeans are not as wonderful as you think.
No. It's not being wonderful.
I've spoken to some of these people, and I've dealt with some of these people. I do not understand why it is said that they are more competent. They are not.
Well, from the look of things, they are.
No. They only have they have leverage, and the leverage that they hold is because of the way that they operate, because of what they own in terms of money and so on. Because of that, they have been able to bully African nations for a very long time.
Whatever give you advantage. You know,
yes. Now, for us to have an advantage, the first thing that we need to do is we need to have a shift in our mindset and a shift in our change. We need to stop thinking of they must come and tell us what we need.
Yeah.
They must come. There's a parliamentary. That's why I love Museveni. When the parliamentary committee of the European Council came to him and said they want to talk to him about the gay rights thing. And then he said, no, but this is we're a sovereign company. He said, no, but our parliament, you signed an agreement that we can come and give you advice. He kicked them out.
Yeah.
That's why I love that guy. Because he's a typical African uncle. Right?
All right.
Sometimes
then.
We do things wrong. Yeah. But I think that in our Namibia, we should consider to work differently than we have. And the worst time when we were working with these organizations and being led by these organizations was under HPP, HHP or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the day that HHP was formed, the first one, HHP1, a gorilla in Cincinnati Zoo called Harambe was shot dead. It was born and died in the same day.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Bye.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Yeah. Good. I have no problem. Anyone who call me hypocrite or whatever, you know, let's just look at the facts and all that. And that's good. Yeah. That gives us a good discussion. All right. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Meg. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Kind of like you are not going to finish with that guy. I like it. It's big.
And then no, that's good. That's what we want. That's exactly this. What is this program is all about? Yeah.
Exactly. That's the good debate. What we need.
Yeah. No.
And the thing is that is.
Yeah.
Me, I'm going to disagree with him a bit.
Yeah.
Because if the research was done, you know, he bring the experts from even NASA and you now. And now you are sitting on the what? On the report.
Yeah.
So, no, something is fishing. You know why? They are not going to join it.
Mm.
Because of transparency and the corruption which is involved in there.
Yeah.
That's why they don't want to review. Because those companies, they will expose you. Remember now, like, even a lot of us, we don't know what is even our diamond worth.
Yeah.
How they are selling in the market.
Mm.
Or even our uranium, we don't know how much it is.
We don't even know what the contract are worth. You know, what are the contract are worth? How much are we getting? Where does it go?
Where does it, exactly. What I want.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. I'm disagree with him. Because
no, what he's saying, I think just to be fair, what he's saying is that this is something that we can do ourselves. You understand? So
but
we don't
we are having too much corruption.
Exactly.
That's why we cannot release anything. All the details, we don't have it.
Yeah.
Even our fish, we don't know how much it costs when it comes to commercial.
Yeah.
You see? There's a thing which we need to know. Exactly. How much is the quarter with?
Hmm.
How many, if you sell the what hike, how much you are getting? How much is pay what? We don't have that because they don't want to install us. Because a lot of people are going to wake up.
Yeah.
It? And if all our government, they are sitting on it. Up to now, even the Nemes is still sitting on those things. If you can say, over, but most people who I like to get information like me, I go and around to check. Look at even Nage, how they are selling their uranium.
But the thing is this, you talk about transparency and accountability, but there is a tool available.
Yeah, which are sitting on it.
That can be able to do that. You know?
Sitting on it is in their office.
Yeah.
That report is in their office. But you see, when in the media they are telling us that things, no, there will be no corruption, we are going to fight it, but why you don't want to be transparent if you are still on the report with the support to give us all the clue what's going on with our mineral and oil and gas.
Yeah.
This is a thing which you need really. As a country, I think, no, if we can join a lot of organizations, even like that, IDBQ or whatever.
Yeah.
We can say thank you to the Rama who come in and say, no, there's only people who are born, women or men.
Mm.
Otherwise, here this time we're supposed to have a lot of wedding this year for the same sex.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that. No, we need to. Because we cannot live in a situation where we say, no, we cannot do this.
Yeah.
But we are able to join the gay life. But we have a small population.
Mm.
That must have even I have an argument when they said, no, guys, if you are bringing in the gay marriage, let us also, who want more kids, because now the population is going to be small.
Yeah.
So, the government can support those kids, which are going to give birth.
Yeah, but at one point, he is also making a point that is actually that, follow the money. Sometimes there are organizations that actually, you know, are sponsoring these things, are putting in so much money to actually destabilize or your country and also to, you know, things like that, that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Mike, when I'm talking to you now, do you know how much is Ukraine in debt with US money?
Yeah.
But look where Ukraine is getting the weapon from the company from America.
Yeah.
It's not them saying, no, sometimes I think it may look like, the person is going to help you. I think we have a debate even yesterday where we are talking about, Chinese when they build the ABBA. That is our own benefit. No, it's for them to ship.
Yeah.
To make it easier for their cargo.
They upgrade the port so that they do the extraction.
They extract everything and they leave uranium and the lithium. And this is I think we need to join that organization, because remember one thing, there was a truck stolen by the driver. So we found out that the lithium, one lithium, just imagine those stones.
Mm.
They are more, I think they have an equivalent of what? The whole truck was almost like 600 million. I mean, 600,000.
Yeah.
That's one truck. Just imagine now. How many trucks are going every day?
No,
truck is worth 600,000.
The other Chinese company that has been mining for 3 years with the exploration license. You understand? You know how much has been digged out for in 3 years?
And then that guy is still exploring. He didn't find out anything yet, but the materials are going. No. That's the problem I think we have in Namibia. Because the moment we say no, we are subsidizing the population so they cannot find out how much we are selling. And also you are making your blunder of yourself, because you don't know what fit also, how much you are selling.
Yeah.
And it's also our government that doing. If we were that organization, we'll be able to control our, and then we know the price.
Mm.
We can stand our ground and say, no, unless you give me this. If you don't give me this, I don't care whatever you are money spending to
own your. The company just said, open up your book. The nation deserves to know. Yeah. That's all what it's all about. Yeah.
Exactly. Transparency is what we need.
Mm.
All right, Mike.
All right. No, thanks for coming through. Yeah?
All right.
Mm. Yeah, as I said, the 2022 Africa Peer Review Mechanism Country Report on Namibia was saying we are literally losing money and losing opportunities because we refuse, you know, to open our books. So the report highlighting even, as I said earlier on, something that is very concerning. Limited transparency across the mining value chain. So that's now including, you know, your licensing, control and verifications, you know, taxations and other critical processes as well. Yeah. So very good morning to you.
Sorry, just a minute. I think the advice was given to how carefully or diligently you choose your friends, and also crafting up the registration. That hello?
Yes, we're listening.
Sorry. So the draft up those ones, amend those laws that don't give benefit, maximum benefit to the Stygian. Yeah, so the issue of track teams, I think the mining in Daba, and we are part of that. So most of this assessment that are really done, one could see that there are some bias.
Yeah, there also has been assessment done by our university. I think the questions here the article is looking at is that there were assessment that were by done our own expert, which was commissioned by the cabinet. Where this is the question, where is it? Where is that report? Let's find out whether that's good for us or bad for us, and then we can move on.
So you haven't even seen a draft or the final draft, and if it was done with the University of Namibia, maybe if it's gazetted and whatever is done there. And for us, what is important here now is that, yes, they're extracting. And that's maybe the reason why the president that we have, Petroleum Amendment Bill has to be speed up.
Yeah, but let's be transparent. Let's be transparent about that. That's actually what now this is saying. Yeah.
The transparency has been there, like I have said already about those principles, those values that you have committed, constitutional values. that we have committed ourselves, and it's even seen there in the pillar, in those our documents, like around that you have nations from the beginning, the first one, the second one, has all emphasized those things. And when you look at our rating in terms of accountability and many other those principles, well, are we not doing well? So the reason why those people were mining, exploring and mining illegally, and I think that's the reason why there must be a law there. And the people are already rejecting the bill, even before it's brought before the parliament. So I don't agree. And I think if that is the case, then what the anonymous is saying is completely correct, 100% correct.
Yeah.
And he's actually in agreement with what the government is doing. So that all the beneficiations and all these other things, and then the things are done here, all these things, that is exactly, I thought you mentioned about 29 point something billion.
Yeah.
That's, that's one of the point that came from that mining in Durban in South Africa that's ascended.
Yeah.
So right. Thank you very much. So let's amend, reform, where is the need be to make sure that everything is actually responding to address our present and strategic need.
All right.
Good.
Or 0833-66091 or 0833-66091. All right. Yeah. So please make sure that you read the article as well, just to get a more depth. It's very interesting to get to the article itself, and subscribe to the Villager, so that you get this kind of information, and be able to understand some of the economic development that is happening in our country. All right. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
The initiative of extracting
extractive industry transparency initiative.
That one they wanted to protect their company.
Yeah,
because the global demand is totally different from north and south. Yeah, so. Now, what are we benefiting for reviewing that? We are doing business with the Asian countries, so where we are making money on that. So while we are not keeping the standard, because it's not us, us who are extracting those things. So how can you come now to us into telling us that, no, you need to extract your uranium on the global, on the global standard, as required by the UK company. And they am saying they am not selling to UK, so I'm selling to China.
Yeah.
And China's standard is certified for what we are extracting here, what their companies are extracting. Yeah, there is a lot of conflicting on the look of the organization. Itself. It doesn't really transparent.
But the core here, it's like, okay, it's saying that What it means is that the moment a mining, actually it's looking at that, the transparency across the mining value chain, we need as the rest citizens of the country, we kind of need to know what is being transpired. Now, kind of like the mining, from the mining license as is issued to the moment taxes are collected, there are dark corners where things can go wrong and where deal can be made behind closed door, like the fish lot that we know, where money can disappear. And this is where now the transparency to say this now organization is kind of following all this, whether it's licensing, control and verification, taxation, all that kind of things. Yeah.
But that is not their purpose. That's why I'm saying we're reviewing when they do approaching Namibia,
yeah.
we review their purpose and services. what is really they are talking about? Because then they are talking about the global standard.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they are talking about financial transparent, what is transparent. You understand?
Yeah.
What is really are we benefiting from that?
The whole point is actually to avoid corruption.
The public, I understand. No.
Yeah.
Not what their purpose of the company.
Yeah.
Because the proposal, I saw it from Tommy Blair.
Mm.
So when he do that, because he said we wanted to see what is the world producing.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And most of these form governments that they are running those institutes now. So it's really shady somewhere.
Mm.
No matter you are saying, we understand, like now, IPPR, who is also a part of that, because them, they are doing the research to say, okay, this is what we are finding in this country. Namibia is doing well when it comes to mining, but to extract it, there is a lot of, shady things.
Yeah.
So that is, as I said now, we are doing good. We can submitting our mining, output.
Mm.
So for that matter, but to say how much, because remember the loyalties are totally different from Namibia to Zambia.
Yeah.
And the loyalty is different from Switzerland to Angola.
Yeah.
So anybody putting his offer there, that this is what I need from the company. So how do you now starting dictating me that no, the loyalty that you are getting is too less. You understand?
Mm.
So that's why we are attracting millions of people in the world to say, in Africa, there is only a good country that in they are protecting the investors, which is Namibia. So I don't see really much in to say, let us join EITI because of what?
Yeah.
No.
Mm.
There are nothing there. So that's what I'm saying. The transparent to a public protector is something different.
Yeah.
So if you are saying no, we have corruption as administration for Mamene Tumbo is saying transparent accountability and all of that are there, but not to say let us joining this for what reason if they are not reviewing that they say they want to govern us.
Yeah.
Key governance.
But it was something commissioned by the cabinet in Harambe
no.
Prosperity too.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Our own organization can come and join it or can come and do a proposal that the public protector, South Africa have that. I don't know about Namibia. You understand?
Yeah.
That is the way they report. If they want to revote, to review something, they go to that public protector and then they get in those documents and review it.
Yeah.
So that is another issue. Not just to joining those companies. And you look at those initiatives, that's why Trump is... It's always in against them. They are creating opportunity for them not to run out of the job. I mean of the what? Not to getting jobs. You understand?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't really do much. Public protector is already there. We have how this one for that what is it? What is this one for protecting Nora Chombe?
Eh?
What is that?
Wait, it has to do with what?
It has to do with the public protector also.
Oh,
I forgot it, man.
All right.
It was running, but yeah.
But anyway,
so those are the things that I'm saying. Transparency is here. So it's only that when these people are coming up with something, we are already jumping. When they are inviting us, we are already sending a delegation. And you said we are interested. No, sometimes they just go there to listen and come and report to us that we are not benefiting here. Because I look at this, 2003 is not yesterday. There is a lot of people that they are reviewing this. And I look at on it that the purpose of this, saving this organization, it has nothing to do with benefiting. It has only the reporting to their companies that Namibia have a standard of this uranium or this gold or lithium or whatever, go and buy to this one. And that is what the North, the global North are trying to kicking the global South, which is controlling the minerals, especially in Africa and and not, but Northern America, if you look at them,
yeah.
Northern America, there is a lot of global north. So that is another, when it comes to minerals in Southern America, all of them, they are the only those American companies, Japanese, Canadian, and all of that. But in Africa, most of global south, they are here.
That's a quick commercial coming up, and then we can continue afterwards. Yeah. Yeah.
There is no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 2 kg crystal gold parboiled rice for only $29.99. And 5 kg Sugar King white sugar for only $98.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch ready, steady, cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
All right. So, yeah, but in the end, when you're looking at what is that grading company, what is that action? Yeah, so in the end, you're also looking at that maybe not really much, not in terms joining or even joining, that would also contributed to how the world view us in terms of transparency and accountability. Wouldn't that be also work in our favor, even if we have our own instruments and system that is actually doing that?
Yeah, but as I say, in the favor of the global north.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a benefit to them. And remember, if you look at what is our president is crying, it's not all watching their grain scaling, guys. You understand?
Mm.
So that is the same issue I'm saying. If we have other researchers that are doing research about the mineral resources and all of that, they can just review to that one.
Yeah.
And we are already in good, in green light when it comes to investors. So I don't see much to say. They are reporting to us, or they are criticizing us that we are not transparent, the corruption is there. Yes, corruption can be there because as we don't have massive, you remember when we were discussing on Monday, or when was it?
Yeah.
So the EPR holders and the fishing quota, what was, they don't have capacity to engaging on this activity. You understand?
Mm.
So now we are giving those, foreigners to do it for us, or they are buying from those people. Like now, this is not a dirty issue with the total.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that, for asking to go to them, is for which reason? It's for them to choosing to ask that do with this one, because it's not corrupt, or do is what. So those are the problems that I'm saying. Tommy Breyer and the others that are initiating the thing, I don't agree with them.
Yeah.
Mike. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
You're
welcome. Yeah. 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. So you may come through, have your reaction, have your contribution on the topic. So yeah, let's do that after this.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi somwa yoe, yonge shifaa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onara hita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Good morning, and welcome back. So, yeah, we're talking about the extractive industries transparency initiatives. Why did that just get out of my head quickly? So, a framework which Namibia is encouraged to join. in it's something that was already recommended by the last administration, and the research has been done by our own institutions, and nothing has happened, and there are questions on if there are reasons not to join. We need to know. And like some of the things that the callers have actually mentioned, that is something that we can do in house. It's something that it's tools and mechanism that we can do it locally. Maybe that we don't need to join, such an organization. And how do we then, wouldn't that be also a tool that help us to deal with corruption and all that? And, well, there's also something that should give us all hope as well, in terms of we are not alone on this continent. So there are also other African countries that have worked through this path before. So we have Angola, Angola is an EITI member. We have Madagascar, we have Liberia, Ethiopia, you know, and Democratic Republic of Congo, we have Malawi. But the question then one would ask is that now joining this organization, are they better rated when it comes to transparency and accountability? Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes,
Mike,
sorry for just for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if you are having a public public protection.
Yeah.
Like what is happening in South Africa.
Mm.
I think then we are good. But in Namibia, we don't have that. It's not even a customer, what do you call it?
Consumer protection, whatever.
Yeah, consumer protection, something like that, yeah.
Mm.
Nothing. If we are having a woman rights like that one for dying for free in Angola.
Yeah.
Maybe that one is dead.
Yeah.
Organization.
Mm.
Because if it was still alive, we cannot have even struggle kids, but you know, human rights is there. They are not even going there to find out what is really happening. Or even in the book of what Swapo, why Swapo are not remembering your people who have been suffering with you in exile, the one who are camping in Swapo headquarters.
Yeah.
They never. That is a dead. You cannot compare a person with a life and a dead one.
Mm.
Yeah. Now we are here talking about, you know, we cannot join an extraction industry protection or something.
Yeah.
You know why? We cannot join it because some people are scared their name to be revealed.
Yeah.
When you're going to find out that, no, in the Los Angeles, Namibia is only having 3%, but there's an individual here having even 7%, the modern government. You see?
Yeah.
Those are things which Namibia, they are trying. You know, how long have we been even like, we have a resettlement, white police for farm.
Mm.
But then they want even to publicize that name to come out. Who the beneficiaries? The same with the fifth quarter, isn't it?
Yeah.
How long are we going to contain this way?
Mm.
If you are saying we must not join.
Mm.
It's good when you are eating. But when you're on the sideline, like some of us,
yeah.
You feel that, no, we need to. We
yeah.
need to join in. So we can leave those who are beneficial when it comes to mine.
Yeah.
In the oil exploration. And
yeah.
How much it's worth. What are they getting in? Because now we have people who are in quotas. They even make people from the north to, like, our queen from Kukwanyama.
Mm.
You remember, she was in the newspaper about to... People to donate, have to for what, for something they need to send the kid or whatever.
Mm.
But she said, say all day in some quarters. You see? But she's not getting anything.
Yeah.
This is what we know. We don't want anymore to continue the way we are.
Yeah. Mm.
Something must be done, my friend. No.
Right.
If we can join Moody for us to downgrade our money and what.
Mm.
Why should we not join it? The one which you are going to remember the water, how you're getting in the mine.
Yeah.
Who is the beneficial when it comes to mine? How much is worth it? That's what we want to find out in Namibia.
Mm.
Anyway, okay, Mike.
All right, man.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, consider this. Yeah, in the article as well, the HPP2, the Harambe Prosperity, Harambe Prosperity 2 plan, Harambe Prosperity Plan 2 document, specifically mentioned, this document has specifically mentioned the EIT as part of our second national anti-corruption strategy and action plan, you know, from 2021 to 2025. All right. From 21 to 25. Now that time frame has now ended. Okay. That time frame has now ended. Now, so let me ask you. So let me ask you. Did we achieve our anti-corruption goals? Did we strengthen the transparency? Did we deepen the public trust, you know, or did we simply let another promise actually fade away? So, yeah, and also, I want to be fair. Also, I want to be fair. The IPPR has noted that even though Namibia did not join the EITI, so by the deadline, things are happened, as most of you said, have happened. Progress has been made in some areas. So, yeah, let's get to the caller quickly. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Mm. Sorry, Mike, to come back. Sorry, but I've been gone for long.
Yeah.
I want to just say something when it comes to what Manduma said right now. You mentioned and you said that...
Hello? Well, hello, can I...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear better now. I can hear you better.
Okay. Yeah, mm. You mentioned and you said that Angola, Liberia, Ethiopia, and I think the other one was what?
Yeah, DRC.
Madagascar.
Yeah.
You just mentioned the who's who of countries that are perceived to be the most corrupt, except maybe Madagascar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If it didn't work for them, I'm talking about Manduma now.
Yeah.
If it didn't work for them... Why do you believe it will work for us?
Mm.
You see now, even the IPPR, if they know that those countries are there, what makes them think it will work for us? Is there still corruption in those countries? Absolutely.
No.
Is there still a lack of transparency? Absolutely. So why are you advocating for it? Because you want to use it. It's a tool for you and for the people who sent you, the people who give you money to be able to, for them to see what's going on. It's nothing to do with us. It's not our interest. It's a plan that is being formulated, and we are supposedly the people who came up with the plan, right? Is it not Dubusani? Where's Dubusani? UNAM or is it UNAM? I think if it's not NAS, he's one of the board of directors there.
Yeah.
Maybe he advocated for it, but it didn't come from him. These things are coming from outside. Every sitting president comes, and when they come, they come with their agenda, with their narrative.
Mm.
Fair enough. There's a reason, and I'll give you an example how that plays out. Right now we've got Netumbo 99 Daifa, who's all anti-corruption, and she looks like she wants to build the country.
Yeah.
She's genuinely trying to build the country, right? That's the agenda. That's what we're always being said, what we're hearing all the time. What did we used to hear with the previous administration? Gay rights, gay this, gay that. And now some of those have been shipped out to America, right? Because that is not the focus of this administration. And if you say that plans must not be scrapped, they should be continued. Well, what if those plans do not align with the current administration's worldview or vision, right? ACP, all those things, they were all secondary to gay rights. The last administration, what it can be known for, is gay rights. The most powerful minister of the last administration was the Minister of Justice, quote-unquote, so-called justice. That's what happened. Now you see a different administration. All you're hearing about is, we don't want corruption. We don't want corruption. We want Namibians to grow.
Yeah.
That should tell you who you are dealing with.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I won't come back again.
All right.
Okay, bye.
It's all right. All right. Okay. I'm not going to take anyone who was here before anymore. Okay. If you know you were here before, I'm not going to take you anymore. So, all right. Now, like what he said, well, we are now in the era of NDP 6, the sixth national planning, the sixth national developing plan, which began in July 2025. So a new framework, you know, but the issue here, it's a new set of promises. You know, we're coming from, there were some other promises in the previous one, but without, so the kind of like without addressing the unfinished business of HPPP2, how can we have confidence that this new commitment will be any different? I think that's, it's irrelevant. You know, we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February, 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right. The reasons why unfulfilled, you know, promises fade away, it's because people, you know, forget, and because we move on, we forget, and because other issues demand our attention, and we immediately forget what was promised. So, but transparency in our extractive industries is not a side issue. It is a central to our development, to our democracy, and also to our future. So, yeah. Now, so I'm going to do, because this is, has to do with corruption. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to look at the 10 least corrupt African countries, according to the latest ranking. So, now to look whether, where are we? In terms of that, as we're talking about this, because this has to do with corruption. So what we're going to look at now quickly, we're going to look at the 10 countries in Africa, the 10 least corrupt African countries, according to the latest ranking. And let us see the country, the country that I have mentioned that we have joined actually the EITI. Whether are they part of the least corrupt country? So are they part of this least corrupt country? So now the global watchdog group called Transparency International just released its annual report and ranking countries on how clean their governments are perceived to be. So how clean their governments are perceived to be. And they score country from 0 to 100. So the higher the score, the less corrupt there is. Okay. If you score higher, the less corrupt, the country is. So that's how it goes. Now, so which country nations are leading the charge? You know, let's unpack those 10 countries. Yeah. Coming up in number one. Okay. Coming up at number one and by a pretty comfortable margin, is the island nation of Seychelles. Okay. The Seychelles. Well, it's called a very respectable 68 out of 100, putting it actually at 24th in the entire world. So Seychelles is actually at 24th in the entire world. And that's the highest ranking for any African country. So the report points to its stable, it's very stable politics. It has a stable politics and effective governance, as a key reasons for its success. For its success is because stable politics and effective governance. So, all right. And coming, you know, hot on the Seychelles heels is Cape Verde, another island nation. This time, of the West African coast. It scored 62 lending it at 35 globally. So Cape Verde has said 35. That's actually very world. I'm talking about globally. 35. It's lending at 35 position globally when it comes to the least corrupt country in the world. Come 35. So now Cape Verde has built a strong reputation for peaceful transition, you know, transition of power and also managing its economic well. So its economy well. So yeah, that's what it's, Seychelles actually, yeah, known for in terms of, and rounding our top three is actually Botswana. With a score of 58. So it ranked 41, 41st in the world. Now, for years, Botswana has been seen as a model of good governance in the region. So famously using its diamond, the Botswana using diamond, its diamond wealth to fund things like schools, hospitals, and infrastructure for its people. So instead of letting it disappear. So that's one of the strongest point for Botswana, ranking 41st in the world and third in Africa. So that's our top three. So, and now here is an interesting one. There is a tie for the fourth place. We have Rwanda, also scored 58 to rank 41st globally. So it's ranked the same as Botswana, but well, it comes the fourth. Now the report highlights its reputation of getting things done efficiently and making the country easy to do business. So now its capital, Kigali, has become a major center, if you like, a major hump for conferences and business in East Africa. So countries that, this is where now most countries, you know, go for their conferences and things like that. So, and next up, we have, Mauritius at number 5, with a score of 48. So with a score of 48. And, Mauritius is known for its strong legal system, and an economy that is diversified into tourism, into finance, into manufacturing. So, and that's the strong point for Mauritius, not Madagascar. And moving down the list, we have another tie at number 6. So at number 6, we have now both Namibia and Senegal. You know, there we are. So we are in the top 6, at least. And we don't have yet those country I have mentioned who have joined the EITI. So, yeah. So some of the point that you're making, make sense. You know, why would we, you know, what are we, what is that we can get? What is that? Why the countries that are part of that don't show this transparency, that's accountability? You know, why they still are the most corrupt, the most corruption in those countries. Yeah. So we come, 6th, 46. We scored 46. Namibia is recognized for its stable democracy and, independent judiciary. So those are very strong points for Namibia. And Senegal too, stand out as a beacon of relative stability in West Africa. So given sometime what is happening in West Africa, it's seen as a relative stability in West Africa with a new economic reform and promising future with oil and gas as well, on a horizon in Senegal. So yeah, we are 6th, the least corrupt country in Southern Africa. We have, yeah, Mauritius is in Southern Africa. Seychelles is in Southern Africa. Botswana is Southern Africa. Namibia is Southern Africa. So actually, Southern Africa is actually dominating in the least corrupt country on the continent. So at number 8 is Benin, which with a score of 45. Now the government there has been working hard really to improve its infrastructure and make it port and make its port more efficient, actually to boost their economy. So, and that's is something that push them up, you know. Yeah, give them that kind of perspective. And finally, we have a tie also, a tie for 9 and 10 spots. Both Cote d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, and Ghana scored 43. So now this is interesting because both are fast growing economies. So, but they are also facing some economic headwinds, So for Ghana, it is dealing with debt, and higher inflations, while Cote d'Ivoire, it's a powerhouse, in cocoa production, and, it's working to ensure, its growth benefit, you know, its citizens. So those, yeah, there you have it. You remember the example of countries that I told you that who have joined. None of them is actually in the top 10 of the of the least corrupt country in Africa. So yeah, from the island paradise of Seychelles to the economic powerhouse of West Africa. So it is clear. It's a clear reminder that while the challenge of corruption is real, and which is really real, it's real. So are the effort. There are the efforts. There is also effort to fight it, and we see that in Namibia. So there are efforts in Namibia as well to fight that. So maybe some of you are right to say this is something that we can do in house. It shows that with strong institution, you know, local institution, an accountable leader. So those are things that we need to emphasize, maybe in the person of Meme Netumbo Nandaitwa. So accountable leadership, a real progress is possible. So yeah, I still have about 3 minutes. Whoever wants to come through, you're most welcome. So, yeah. So it doesn't matter whether you were here before. So, 08333-66091. Maybe you wanted to react on the least corrupt country, that I just looked at now. That's something a little bit different. So you're welcome to come through. So you have 3 minutes, to do that. So do come through and toningwa huninma. All right.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
You're the last one. Good morning.
Buen dia, familia.
Ah, where have you been?
I've been around.
My Portuguese have even disappeared now, you know?
Oh, não faz isso, meu irmão, Temos que falar português, pá.
You see? I haven't spoken for a while, so it's gone, you know?
So I'll start calling in. I don't want you to forget.
Yeah, no, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Yeah.
How's things there?
No, we're okay. We're all good.
No, we are coping. We are happy. We're still here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you say a few minutes, I also take this chance just to greet my friends in the radio, my colleagues and you as well, and everybody who's following us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, happy new year for all of you guys, and good luck. Let us debate.
All right. No, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Muito obrigado e boa sorte para você.
Muito obrigado.
Eu estava muito longe, pá.
Yeah.
Oh, olha, dá um abraço no coisa no Tate Baná, meu amigo, meu companheiro, compatriota.
I think I have to get your number so that you teach me, eh?
Tá bom, tá bom, não tem problema.
All right. 59 minutes past the hour of 9. As he said, let's debate, and that's the point. That's exactly the point. Each one, everyone, you know, perspective, different perspective, opinion, you know, it's allowed here. That's how we teach one. How does Jun Akawa mention? He said, teach one, something like that. So it could apply here as well. So yeah, we teach each other. Yeah. So we teach each other. And thank you for always, you know, taking part. But because that's what we need to do. We need to debate, issues that concern, our nation and our economy. And this is the platform. Make sure that you tune in. Every day of the week, from Monday to Friday, from 8 to 10, and be part of the discussion, be part of the unpacking, whatever issue we bring you. So when we bring it here, it's, we know that it has some kind of importance or significant to issues of bread and butter for our people. Yeah, so it's me signing off and leaving you in the hands of another capable man, you know, coming up with Kuthamosha, Dr. Franz. I'm handing over to you. Let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here, man, on Eagle FM. From me, Michael Chiavelli. Until tomorrow. It's a goodbye for now.